Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Hey, look at this, called 12-year-old Josh. It says there's jugglers at the city center Friday. Can we go, please? Hold on there, pal, his dad replied, looking over his shoulder. Why don't you scroll down further and get the rest of the information? Then we can decide. Yeah, his 14-year-old sister Becky called from across the room. Maybe our hotel won't even be close to that place, or it might be big bucks to get in. Oh, can you check if there's any music stuff going on nearby? From a parent's perspective, what should we know about finding kid-friendly activities in our own hometowns and on out-of-town visits? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has loads of experience finding and sharing wonderful adventures for families in her part of the country. Amy Miller is a 36-year-old mom entrepreneur in Arlington, Virginia. She owns and operates Our Kids, a local activities and resource guide for families in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, with a branch as well in the Baltimore-Annapolis area. She calls Our Kids your link to family fun, providing a comprehensive guide of activities, events, and more for kids of all ages. She has two daughters, ages 8 and 6. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
So, what would you say is the most important thing to look for in an activity suitable for children?
There are actually several important criteria, and the top one for me is age appropriateness. When you're looking at an activity online or in a parenting publication, is that activity going to stimulate your child? And really, you want to trust your instincts. You know your child best. But the thing that I have found the most is that activity going to be age appropriate? You also want to check the child's interest level. My daughter loves bugs and nature, so we like to go to the local nature center. So I try to always look into programs at the nature centers, and there are nature centers all around this country for parents to go to. That's just one example. You also want to check into location of the event. So do you want to be driving 20 minutes away, or do you want to kind of stick closer to home? Those are some of the main things. The other thing that's important to kind of think about when you're looking for an activity for your children is trying new things. While your children might be interested in bugs only, getting them to explore other interests and broadening their horizons is important. One of the things that we like to do is take kids or recommend that you take your child to a gallery of art. While that may seem an adult-only activity, it exposes your child to artwork they would never have seen before. We recommend bringing crayons, colored pencils, no markers, and a pad of paper. And we like to sit our children in front of the different artwork and have them draw what they think it looks like and expose them to new things.
And I guess when you're doing that, one restriction is don't try to cover the whole gallery. Just pick a few favorites.
Yes, you pick a few favorites. And, you know, you could spend all day in one little section, and the kids are happy. They don't need to be dragged over the entire museum. You could go back and make that an activity, you know, a once-a-month activity, once-a-quarter activity.
We have a little 3-year-old grandson whose parents love to go to art galleries and art museums. And when he was very little and started scribbling, they taught him about Jackson Pollock. And so when he scribbles something, he says, I did a Jackson Pollock. He's quite proud of himself. What kinds of activities and programs should parents really try to steer away from?
There aren't necessarily any activities to keep your kids away from. It's really, again, going back to that age appropriateness question. So if you have children that are, say, 4 and under, you don't want to take them to a library story time that requires them to sit for 30 minutes when you know clearly that they're just going to be bouncing off the walls. Now, you can look into your local libraries. Oftentimes now they have programs where it's the story time for kids who can't sit is the name of the program. So you want to look for something that's going to stick with your child. I would also try the entertainment type of activities on the wayside, like the movies. We all love the movies, but try and stimulate your child. You want to give your child an experience that will nurture their curiosity and explore their love of learning.
It's interesting. One of the things that we as parents all want to do is give our children exposure to different kinds of arts.
Mm-hmm.
And in so many cities now, they have certain times of the year where they have what they call instrument petting zoos.
Yes.
And children can come and they can look at the instruments and,
yes.
and one of the musicians can make the instrument work so
mm-hmm.
that the child can see what that happens. And we also think about maybe high school concerts or things that are
yes.
that are more geared to children. And also someone said to me, which I think was a really good idea, was children do better at concerts where the music is loud so
mm-hmm.
that if they talk, it's okay.
Oh, you know? Yes. You know, and the other good place to take your children, children's theaters,
mm-hmm.
because they don't care if your kid's squirming in their seat and sometimes they'll even have a special children's room. But it's such a great experience for kids to go to theater. And at such a young age, I mean, there are theater programs that start for children 2 and up. So they get that experience right away and they can explore their imagination. And it's so neat to see them make connections between if they've read the book and seen the theater production to see what's missing. We like to do compare and contrast with our children. So we'll read the book and then we'll see the play and then we do compare and contrast at dinner time.
They've just reissued Free to Be You and Me, Marlo Thomas's music, as now it's a book. And my children, who are in their 30s, my two older boys, remember going to see that when it first came out at a theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. They were very little because we moved to the Washington area when they were 5 and 2 and a half. And so it was really cute when I sent the book to their children, and it comes with a CD, and they were like, oh, my gosh, we grew up on this. So that was
right.
an experience with a theater that was remarkable.
Right. And you don't even have to go to the professional children's theater. Like you were saying, go to your local high school because
mm-hmm.
all high schools have theater productions spring and fall. And more often than not, they're going to be family friendly.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on resources for child-related activities.
Popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Amy Miller of OurKids.com about finding resources for child-related events and activities.
Amy, how can parents best access the resources in their own hometowns?
I have found that the resources vary from city to city, although if you live in a major metropolitan city, you are guaranteed almost to have an online resource and print publications. I use search engines, so you could use Google, Yahoo, any of your favorite search engines, and you want to type in family-friendly activities and include your city where you're located. And that will typically bring up the most relevant information for you. Another thing that I would recommend is to connect with other parents. Use your support network. There's always the one or two parents in your group who kind of know what's going on. There just always seems to be someone who's kind of in the know. So connect with your neighbors, connect with parents, connect with those in your mom or dad's group, and they'll have play dates and play groups that you'll end up going to. If you have no dedicated guide in the city that you live in, I'd recommend looking in your local paper, listening to the radio and the TV, and then always check your Department of Parks and Recreation. They always have catalogs of information, and some of those activities are free. Some of them cost a nominal fee, and some of them are classes. But Department of Parks and Recreation is a guarantee of a place to find activities for your children. And the other place, obviously, is libraries. Every library has a story time, and it's a great thing to do on that really hot day or that really cold day to get your kid interested in books and interested in that love of learning.
We have had the experience of being the adult parallel program while there's a story time going on for children old enough to be on their own for a half hour program.
And nobody went to sleep during ours.
Nobody did.
Really good. What's the best technique for finding kid-friendly activities when the family's visiting from out of town?
When you're visiting from out of town or when you're traveling to a new location, I am, again, a huge fan of using the internet. I recently just went to Florida, and before I went, I looked online for kid-friendly activities, and of course, Florida has tons of them, so it wasn't that difficult. But, you know, we go to Seattle a lot, and there are tons of resources. You just need to use good keywords when you're searching. So, for example, you'll type in family-friendly activities in Washington, D.C., or in Boston, Massachusetts. If you're coming from out of town, you also want to check your hotel concierge or the visitors bureau. They often have great suggestions. And I'm also partial to patronizing locally owned businesses. There are several good resources in some of the major cities where you can find fun activities to do with the kids. So, for example, in Boston, there's a website called Boston Central. So, bostoncentral.com. She's a local mom. She gives you activities and tons of resources for living in Boston, but also visiting in Boston. In Seattle, there's Parent Map. That's www.parentmap.com. And again, another locally owned business. And they all follow the same format. They give you places to go, but also what activities are actually happening at the time of your visit. Most often, these places have calendars, and you can click on the days that you'll be there, and you can plan your entire visit if you wish. Chicago has chicagokids.com. San Francisco has www.sfkids.org. And then if you're in the New York metro area, it's www.parentsknow.com, and the know is K-N-O-W. And again, if you don't have access to the internet, try your local bookstore or library, because most metropolitan cities have specific guides now for parents and families when you're going to a city. And our own Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis have Washington, D.C. with Kids, their fourth edition, a great resource. And then another good resource if you're coming to the D.C. metro area is D.C. Baby by Sarah Masterson. And she writes a blog, but she also has a downloadable tourist edition book, and that's a nominal fee of $6. So you have there's a variety of resources, and literally everywhere we go, you can find something specifically for kids and off the beaten path.
This is a wonderful plug. We didn't even pay for this plug, so thank you very much.
When parents are looking for specific events in the ways that you've suggested, how can they really evaluate whether an activity is truly kid-friendly?
I've been doing this as a mom for 9 years and 4 years professionally finding activities for other people, and I really haven't found that many activities that are not good. It again boils down to making sure you're in tune with your child, going to an activity that is age appropriate. So if the program at the National Gallery of Art says it's for ages 3 to 6, don't take your 1-year-old or 2-year-old. They aren't going to get it. You know, 3 really is the minimum age, and you should kind of stick to it. I've noticed when I go to programs like that, when parents do bring a child that is too young or too old, they're either bored or they're disruptive. And it's kind of not fair to the other children who are there.
And there's a good reason why those guidelines are given. I'm sure experience helps the planners.
Yes, exactly.
And we should probably note that the reason the guidelines are given is because it's a developmental guideline. It doesn't have anything to do with how smart your child is.
Yes.
It has to do with whether your child is at an age where he or she can sit and can focus and other things that are developmentally connected.
Right. And I think as parents today, a lot of us want to rush things. And you know what? You will have your time, and the kids will be ready when they're ready, and it's all okay. They will all get great experiences throughout their life. And the other thing to find out if an activity is kid-friendly is to talk, again, with your support network. I belong to a mom's group, and that listserv is so active with don't go here because XYZ, or go to this doctor, she is a wonderful doctor. So talk with other parents and really use that network, because it's a really good tool. There are some other tips that I live by when evaluating and going to events that I like to recommend parents do. The first one is prepare. Always prepare your child before you go somewhere. It really helps ground them and helps kind of just set expectations. We do that still with our children, and I think it makes the activities go much smoother. They're not fearing something They understand what's going to happen. I mean, the element of surprise is always nice, but with little kids, I think it's better to prepare. And I think even with older kids, it's just nice to have a little bit of structure. The other thing I like to recommend is arrive early. If you're going to a museum, if you're going to an event, get there on time or even try and go a little earlier because the kids can kind of look around. They can see what's there and then they'll be ready for the activity when it's time. And finally, my big piece of advice is don't overschedule your child. We tend to feel like we need to fill every single block of our child's time. And I truly believe that one activity in the morning hits the spot, especially when they're younger. They don't need that much. They can get so much out of just an hour activity and be done for the day, and then they can go play. I think it really will behoove our children to not overschedule them so much.
I think what you said, then they can go play, is a key issue here too, because they do need just time to be themselves without a planned activity, and especially without being plunked in front of a video or a television or some passive activity.
Right. The other thing that I think all of us as parents come across and we sort of forget when we're doing our planning is sometimes there are surprises. We plan this wonderful activity that's going to give our child an experience that we think will be terrific, and it turns out that something entirely different happens. I remember my first child, I bundled him up, it must have been cold weather, and took him down to the zoo in our town. And I thought, wouldn't this be wonderful? He's never been to the zoo. He's going to be absolutely mesmerized by things like giraffes and elephants are so big and so unusual. And so there I was giving him this wonderful experience, and he was mesmerized, all right, by the pigeons. we could have stayed home.
Right. And, that's the great thing about parenting, though. It's always the unexpected. With any activity or event that you go to, you want to plan, you want to prepare your child, but at the same time, you're going to come probably away with something you would have never expected. And I think that's one of the best things about doing things like this.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on resources for child-related activities.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Amy Miller of OurKids.com about finding resources for child-related events and activities.
Every museum, every business now offers something for children, whether it be a story time, arts and crafts, just a regular instructional program. There seems to be just so much out there. So really, if you're living in a metropolitan city, it's all there for you. You just kind of need to use the internet, use your local papers as your research tool.
And I think the other thing we sort of forget is we can do things with kids that are fun that don't have to be specifically structured activities. I think some of the things that I remember with my kids that were the most fun were unstructured little walks that we would take just around the neighborhood because a pebble or a leaf or something else that they would find along the way would be perfectly fine and interesting.
We need to let kids be kids. I feel like, we schedule our kids so much. I remember as a child going out in our backyard and just playing all day. And my parents would probably check on us once or twice. We lived on a military base. I was a military brat growing up, and we played all the time. We didn't go to activities every day. And I really would love to see a little bit more of that with this generation, being able to just play outside, going to just a pathway and walking along the pathway and playing I Spy, or just kind of taking the kids' lead and letting them explore and find what they'd like.
They think it's a big adventure to talk to the mailman who's bringing the mail.
Sometimes we do too.
Right. Or to stop in at even a grocery store is an adventure when you're with kids. Or if you walk by a bakery and you smell things baking, Usually if it's not crowded, you can go in and learn about a bakery. Mm-hmm. Recently, I received a package from my granddaughter, who's 4 and a half and lives in the Boston area. And she gets very excited when I send packages and mail to them. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to mail a package to me, and she wanted the whole adventure of deciding what to send, wrapping it up, packaging it, and going to the post office with her parents and sending it. And then she couldn't wait for me to receive it. My son gave me a heads up, and he said, "Now, don't get too excited, Mom." But she had a wonderful time shipping it. And when I received it, it was a padded brown envelope, and in it was a box, and it rattled. And I thought she must have sent me a piece of her jewelry or something that was hers. Well, she did send me something that was hers. It was a little box, and in it was lovely blue tissue paper and 4 pennies.
Oh.
And so I called her and said, "I got a package today. I'm so excited." And she said, "I sent you money so you could get anything you wanted. I hope it made you happy." It was delicious. But the experience of dealing with how a package gets shipped is written about in a couple of children's books. And it came alive for her.
My daughter, similarly, she likes to just go out for walks in our neighborhood. She loves collecting rocks, shell, you know, anything collecting. And we often get the same thing. Lots of envelopes around our house with "To Mom, Love Emma," with a little shell in it, you know, and the next envelope contains a penny or a quarter. And she is the most giving child. She will give you anything that she has, but it's just a very nice experience.
How can we foster some good research habits in our own kids?
One of my main things is having children planning an outing, having them help you plan that outing that you're interested in doing with your children. We recently had a chance to go to SeaWorld, and what I did for the kids is told them a little bit about SeaWorld, prepared them a little bit, but then gave them the park map, and we sat down and I said, "Pick your top 3 things that you'd like to go to, and we'll schedule them and hit those first, and then we'll go from there, and we'll just kind of play it by ear afterwards." And they were very excited because they got to choose what they wanted to do, and they felt a little bit more empowered about what the day was going to bring for them. So that is a big piece of it. You can always, again, prepare your kids before doing anything. And then the other piece that can help them develop kind of research habits, but also just more intellectual stimulation, is doing little quizzes. One of the things that we do in our family is at dinner time, whenever we've gone somewhere, we kind of talk about our adventure and then ask questions. Literally for 20 minutes at dinner that night, I asked them questions about what animals were endangered, and they were so animated and excited to be able to answer the questions and what they learned, and it's just such a great way to get them to think and reflect on what they learned for the day.
Can you remember what was your biggest surprise about the world of public events for kids?
There is just a plethora of events, especially in metropolitan cities. There's just so much to choose from. And on the flip side, it worries me too, because then parents feel this obligation of we have to do X, Y, and Z with our children. Again, pick one activity. You don't have to do something every day. But if you do want to expose your children to new things or have a free day, you don't have a soccer game that you have to go to or a swimming lesson or something like that, just pick one and go with the flow and, you know, have fun with your child.
The most important ingredient is to be there with your child.
Yes.
Not to send your child here, you're going to be enriched. Mm-hmm. But the enrichment is the interaction with a parent.
Yes. As my children get older, I miss that because they're in school all day, so our time is very limited. It's after school when there's not a scheduled enrichment, or the weekend. And it is so nice, again, to just go to the local park, take a hike, and explore things together and learn about things together. So you're exactly right. You know, as they get older, you start to miss that one-on-one time with them more. And it's crucial to do that stuff together.
Just when they get to be able to do extended activities, then they go to school.
Right.
It's a dirty trick. What resources at this point, Amy, would you want to recommend for our listeners who would like to learn more about some of the ideas we've been discussing?
My website is www.our-kids.com, so ourkids.com. And my philosophy is we do the research so you don't have to. We offer a very comprehensive website free to the public with loads of information, lists of museums, indoor play spaces, local parks and playgrounds, you name it, it's there. And then we also offer a weekly newsletter where parents get a list of activities for D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, where they can do things with their children, pick and choose. If you use it once a week, once a month, it's all up to you. As a new parent, I also really recommend joining a parent group, mom's group, a dad's group, you know, whatever your interest. They have single parent groups, divorced parent groups, you know, you name it, there is a group for it. And on ourkids.com, we actually do list all the various parent groups out there. So join one. It's a fabulous way to connect with other parents who are in the exact same situation as you are, for your little ones to meet new friends. And again, it is a great way to find out about local activities. If you're moving to a new area, neighbors, connect with your neighbors. And again, join a support group. Another newer method that I've kind of started exploring a little bit are blogs. And blogs are a new tool that parents can use to find out about local events going on in the area. And a good one, again, for DC area is dc-baby.com. DC Baby is a good blog that gives various events and tips for parents with younger children. And then there are several other print resources in the DC metro area. There's the parent pages, Washington Parent, Washington Family, and Giggles on the Go. So those are some of the top ones in the DC metro area.
Well, you have certainly been a wonderful resource, not only for the DC metro area, obviously, but for all of our listeners all over the place. So, Amy Miller, thank you so much for being with us today and talking about how parents can access activities for kids.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, a Fodor's publication. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Tell us what station you're listening to if you can, and also mention show number 391.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Bird and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Special thanks to the Evelyn Sachs Trust for its generous support in making this program possible. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.